Ephesians chapter 1. I'm on the next part of the series here. I'll be wrapping us up next week here on the blessed life. One thing that does not wrap up is the fact that we are blessed. And so this whole series here has been about us embracing, proclaiming, and actually today also reclaiming the blessing that God has already put in store or put inside of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, God wants to bless us, not just to be, we might have a bunch of gravy to drown in life. God wants to bless us, to actually make us more of a blessing to those we come in contact with by the power of His Spirit. Amen. So in Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to talk this morning here about living like we're blessed. Because again, I've said there's many adverse circumstances that take place in our lives from time to time. Many times we can sometimes face seasons of sickness, seasons of financial want, seasons of marital, not bliss, but marital turmoil. There's things that take place in our lives that catch us sometimes unawares. But I want to remind you again, we always walk through the valleys of the shadow of death. And the good news is His goodness, His mercy is always following us every day of our life. And there's always going to be the author and finisher of our faith living in us who makes sure what He begins, He will complete by the power of His name. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, not who will bless us in the life to come, but who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ our Lord." Most of us have been taught again that these verses are about sowing and reaping in Matthew chapter 5. And so in your Bibles again, don't turn Matthew chapter 5 right now, but do write down your notes today. If you're a young person, a youth here, I want to go through some review. Also, some guys may be here for the first time today for this series. We talked about Matthew 5, a thing called the Sermon on the Mount, how Jesus Christ began to talk about the kingdom of God that's going to be coming upon the face of the earth. Now, in the times past, we've heard teachings go out that says this is all about sowing and reaping. If we do this, then God will do this. When in fact, what Christ was doing to the crowds time and time again was proclaiming to them, "I'm going to release upon this earth the Holy Spirit when I go to heaven. When He comes here, the kingdom of God shall be upon this earth among mankind. But also, the kingdom of God is not just outside of you. The kingdom of God also is in you." Okay, you got to realize that. And because God's kingdom lives in us, He starts changing things around our minds, our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, and He starts bringing things into us that lines up with the kingdom of God more than the kingdoms of this earth. And praise God, one day the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But until He parts the heavens and does that, we still have a natural world around us that bombards us with a culture that many times is totally contrary to what God's kingdom is all about. So Jesus Christ begins explaining in Matthew chapter 5 in verses 3 through 11, a thing we find, we call it the Sermon on the Mount, about blessed, 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 blessed are you who have this, this, and this take place in your life. And again, it's not about sowing this and then reaping this. It's more about when God's kingdom comes inside of you, you're going to find yourself blessed because these things shall now become a part of your life. And because of what I do in your life, says the Lord, there shall come blessings on the other side of what I do in you. God's got many things in the Bible that explains more and more about His nature. One thing that the Bible says is He's the Alpha and the Omega. What that means is we're made in God's image and God's likeness. So if God says, "I am the beginning and the ending," that means everything in our lives and on this earth is going to have a beginning and have an ending because we're made in God's image and God's likeness. God also says things in my kingdom normally begin with bitterness but end up as a sweet taste in your mouth. Revelation, He tells the prophet, "Eat this scroll." He said the prophet ate the scroll. It was very, very bitter in his mouth. But then as time went by, it became a sweetness in his tongue and in his belly. And so God begins saying, first of all, some things may be bitter to your flesh because God has very, very little honor for your flesh. But it shall work sweetness in your life when it has its perfect work. That's why the Word of God says, may God have His perfect work in us. It's an ongoing thing that may begin bitter, but it's going to end up with a blessing in your life. Okay, so saying all that, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, the verse blessed comes out and it says here, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Blessed are the humble. Is that a really good word for that in spirit? Now, it's a bitterness in us to walk about this earth in humility, because all around us are proud people, arrogant people, outgoing people, trying to enforce their will on us by, again, their attitudes, their actions, their driving, their finances, or whatever. And so it says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. The bitterness of that, it says, for, it goes on and says, for they shall inherit the kingdom of Almighty God. What he's saying to us there again, those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they shall have the Spirit of God in them, working out inside of them, a spirit that brings in humility. That being humble is not going to be an easy thing to be in the arrogant world around you. But the good news is, the blessing shall come that says you shall inherit things in the life to come. If you'll realize your life is not just about your soul and about your body being rich, but about your spirit man being poor, being humble around mankind, no matter what your soulish man or your body man goes through, your spirit man has an inheritance to receive in the life to come. What Christ was saying to us, folks here was, so many people work with their souls and their bodies getting rich. They try to get a lot of education, a lot of degrees. They try to pump iron, get real fit. And those things are not bad as far as God is concerned. Amen? But God says, focus more upon the spirit man, because your spirit man receives an inheritance in the eternal life to come. I think about folks that have died the past couple of years, last several years. They're very, very wealthy as far as their soul, their mind, their will, their emotions, and as far as their body was concerned. These are people, again, whose names were Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, Robin Williams, a comedian, Heath Ledger, a guy who was very, very popular, I think, as a Joker and so forth in times past. These guys had all things the world could offer to them, going for them for seasons in their lives. But unfortunately, the spirit man was not being focused on, and we see how when our soul becomes rich, our body becomes rich, does not mean our spirit man is also getting rich along with that. Amen? And so God is saying to us again, let's focus on the spirit and realize to be poor in spirit means not to be bankrupt in spirit. It means to see others the way that God sees them, not as better than yourselves, but as equal in God's sight. Amen? Because my spirit man is just as rich as somebody has $1 billion in the bank. Their spirit man, if they're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, we are equal in God's sight. Okay? So God says, don't let yourself see yourself as less than folks around you or as more than folks around you. Blessed are those who are poor and humble in their spirit, because they shall have inheritance. That's the blessing in the kingdom of God. He goes on and says, blessed also are the meek. That word meek means the mild, the patient, the long-suffering. Those who have power that is actually under control. It says, for they shall, as a blessing, shall inherit the earth. You're going to find that, again, the bitter pill is being patient. Our flesh does not like long-suffering and does not like patience. Amen? We want the light to turn green right now. We want our food right now. We want our paycheck right now. We want promotions right now. We want a wife and a husband right now. We want things instantly all the time around us. But it says, a bitter pill to swallow says, to have the inheritance God has for you upon the earth, the kingdom of God will work in you long-suffering and patience and meekness and power under control in Jesus' name. All those things are bitter pills to swallow. Our flesh does not like those words. But the reward, the blessing is, you shall receive promotions, raises, bonuses, and an inheritance on this earth. For those who let the kingdom of God work in you in those ways. Do you see that? The next one says, blessed are the merciful. For they shall what? They shall obtain mercy. That means blessed are those who are empathetic with needs around them. That's, again, a very bitter pill to swallow. I don't like feeling bad about people in northern India. I don't like feeling bad about the floods in Blanco County, whatever else, Texas. I don't like feeling empathy about things around me that makes me feel sad, makes me feel painful, makes me feel hurt. That's a bitter pill to swallow. But the Word of God says, if my kingdom comes in you, I'm going to cause you to have divine mercy working in your life. But the good news is the blessing will come that will bring also mercy to your life, because the Holy Spirit of mercy lives in you and he'll draw mercy to you all the days of your life. How many folks can say today by a raised hand, you've needed mercy in your life? Most of you guys. Amen. By a boss, by a wife, by a husband, by a child, by a teacher, you've needed mercy in your life. And God says, those you take and are full of mercy, let mercy work in them. The blessing is they shall have mercy even of God brought to them also in their lives. The next thing says here, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's a bitter pill to swallow. I don't like always trying to live in purity. I want to let my fleshly eyes sometimes wander, my fleshly mouth speak out words of cursings to people around me that wrong me in some way. I don't like to have purity take place all the time in my flesh, but the kingdom of God working in me brings a thing called divine conviction into my life. We have a thing called the prompting, the grieving of the Holy Spirit inside of us. When things are going wrong out of our mouth, things we watch with our eyes, things we think in our brain, when all those things of impurity start coming into us, that convicting work of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God in us, tells us, turn away, move away, turn around, don't drown. Amen? Heard that before in the last few days? He's telling us that. It's called a teleprompter, Holy Spirit nudge. It's called a conscience that is sharpened. Turn around, don't drown, go the other way. The blessing is those who are pure in heart, God causes them to see God in all situations all around them. Aren't you grateful that Joseph had a purity of heart that was so great? When his brothers betrayed him, had him thrown into prison, saw himself in obscurity for many, many, many years, when he comes out and sees his brothers face to face many years later, because there was a purity in his heart, he said to his brothers, "Don't fear for revenge from me on your lives." He says, I see with my eyes what God was doing in your situation. What you meant for evil, I saw what God was saying. He meant it for the good. And now the whole nation of Israel is saved because of what you guys did to me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see what God's doing in every adverse situation in their lives. I want to say right now, every dark cloud's got a silver lining to it in the kingdom of Almighty God. Amen? Your promotion is on the other side of the worst days of your life. Goodness and mercy is following every day of your life. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train. It is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Realize it and know that. The next thing goes on and says, Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers. We don't like in our flesh being peacemakers. How many folks here enjoy breaking up a fight at school? Two bullies or a bully's bullying your friend or bullying some stranger. I know that Sarah's very, very good, as small as she was, at going, getting right in bullies' faces in middle school. What are you doing? I mean, she didn't have any fear about bullies at all, and the grace of God was on her for that. She broke up many fights and many bullying things in her life in public school. We don't like sometimes telling our parents, would you please quit fighting? We don't like telling our siblings, our brothers and sisters, would you please quiet down? Would you please quit the fighting? Would you please put up your fists? Let's let some peace come in this situation in our family, our life, and our community. The Bible says it's a bitter pill to swallow, but blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. The blessing is when the Holy Spirit of God, kingdom of God, comes in us, He gives us a desire to make peace of people all around us, a bitter pill to swallow. But he says, because of that, you're also called the sons of Almighty God. And guess what? God does not let bullies rule in your life anymore. Those who are sons of God receive protection from the Lord of all things that come against them on this earth. You know, our daughter named Kristen, who's right now upstairs with the children, She's our middle child and runs our children's ministry in the church. Back about probably 15 years ago, way back in the dark ages, we had a freak ice storm take place in Austin, Texas, in Round Rock, where we live at. And so they called school off. And so my son, my daughter, Kristen's out playing in the ice on a driveway. And a rowdy young boy that was Kristen's age, a schoolmate friend of hers, pushed her down on her face on the ice and the cement of that driveway. She came back with a bloody lip and a little bit of a chipped front tooth. I rose up in my hackles, as a father would do, and said, I'm going to find that young man right now. Where does he live at? I wasn't going to beat his head in. I was going to go find his parents and tell what he did and try to get this guy in a little bit of trouble. But unfortunately, the guy ran off. He was gone. Couldn't find out where he lived. But how many fathers can say when someone messes with your daughter, they're in big trouble? Amen? Or your sons. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. God will fight your battles for you as the kingdom of God works in your life. The next thing says this, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Like we saw this young man on the screen today, persecuted for righteousness' sake. It says the blessing, that's a bitter pill. This young man did not enjoy having sticks upon his body, having fists in his face, being ridiculed, rejected. That's a bitter pill to swallow. No one likes persecution and rejection. Amen? No one likes that. But it said, blessed are they because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. This young man will see Jesus Christ face to face one day. And you can't imagine the rewards that God has for him for eternity by what he did for the name of Jesus Christ upon this earth. All these things here are not about just sowing and reaping. They're about the kingdom of God shall work these things in you. You're going to find yourself wanting to be a peacemaker, wanting to be pure in heart, wanting to be merciful, wanting to be a person who receives sometimes or just receives automatically, not wanting it, but it happens. Persecution from people around you who don't like the Jesus in your life. But the blessing is you'll see God, you'll know God, you'll receive inheritance, you'll have God fighting for you, you'll have God's mercy in your life. That is the blessing that's already working in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. I told the congregation 2 weeks ago to look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. It's on the screen here again behind me for the people's sake again, for remembrance. Jesus said, one more parable I want to speak to you. The kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, is like leaven, which a woman takes and hides in 3 measures, notice that, of meal, till it was all leavened. The reason he puts down here 3 measures is because you're made of spirit, soul, and body. Amen? And what God is saying is, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that holy kingdom of God leaven takes your dead spirit and makes it come alive in Jesus Christ. But then he says, that's not enough. I want that leaven now to also influence your thinking and your speech and your actions and your eating habits and your sleeping habits and all your habits. I want them all to be influenced by the leaven called the kingdom of Almighty God. And so he says, the kingdom of God comes, you people. It's what Christ was saying 2,000 years ago. It's going to be like leaven that'll cause your spirit man to come alive, but also influence your soul and your body until you finally die or see Jesus face to face. Now, the thing is today, we must be those who are going to be soft, pliable, teachable people spending time in God's presence to allow his kingdom of leaven to work in us all 3 measures throughout the entire lump that God made it. I told the folks here 2 weeks ago, we're all doughboys. Amen? We're doughboys and dough girls. May leaven come inside of us. May we rise in Jesus' name. Amen? And get baked and get cooked. Our flesh gets burned up and we come out as fresh bread that just smells so good. The fragrance of Jesus Christ wafting everywhere we go and knowing that Satan's under our feet and we are bread for the nations in Jesus' name. Amen? So that's the introduction here. That's the preview of the past teachings. I'm going to move on now to some points here quickly. We're going to pray for some folks here before I leave today as well. So number one, take home point. Write this down in your notes. If you have a notes today to write, something to write with, or get your iPads out, put your texting up, turn your cell phones off. I bind every cell phone right now that's not looking up scriptures in Jesus' name. I say every text go blank in the name of Jesus. Okay, did that work? Did it work? I don't hear anything, but I think it's going to work. We're going to start praying more prayers like that because whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Amen? And if nothing else, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit is going to turn that thing off. Okay, so we're talking about now, number one, what is blessed? What does blessed mean? The Greek language, the word blessed here, it actually means happy. It means enviably fortunate. It means spiritually prosperous. It means possessing the happiness produced by experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of His grace. We saw Mary Lou Munchaka give a testimony here about a revelation of God's grace, praise and worship. She had a revelation of what praise and worship, how we have a freedom to do that where it could be taken from us. Amen? Revelation of God's grace, regardless of the outward conditions of our lives. We must realize no matter what we're going through in life, how bad things look around us, we are still blessed in Jesus' name because He's the author and finisher of our faith. We will have some rough times, some pressurized times in our flesh, in our soul, our minds, but our spirit man's alive. It's already living in eternity, and our spirit man wants to control our soul and our flesh so we don't find ourselves depressed, lonely, fearful, rejected, and feeling bad in life, but having all the blessings of God's peace and happiness and grace working through us. The Hebrew word for blessing is a word barak, not Barack Obama, but B-A-R-A-C-H, okay? And this word means to add something of value to someone. To add something of value to someone. So we actually can bless our children. We can bless our wife. We can bless our husband by adding something of value to them. Okay, and it also goes on and says, where am I at here? It also means to add to that which is already good, to add to that which is already good and make it even better. To speak well of someone is to bless them in Jesus' name. Let's go now back to the Old Testament and see some blessing scriptures here where the foundations of blessings take place in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we're going back to Abraham, back to creation, and seeing where God first began to speak blessings upon the earth and upon mankind. So Genesis 1, 27, 28 says this, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." Notice this. "Then God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" And notice it does not say, "Have dominion over every person on the earth," not over each other, over the fish, the trees, the birds, the horticulture, the biology all around us, but not mankind. When God blessed them, how many would agree this was a gift that God gave us? Would you agree with that? When God says, "I bless mankind, I speak blessings over all people," that's a gift that God gave us. Amen? Well, the Bible says what about gifts? The Bible says, "My giftings, my gifts have no repentance." What's repentance mean? It means changing your mind. God has not changed His mind about blessing people on the earth. Amen? The blessing of God is still upon the people of the earth, especially those who are born-again believers in Jesus Christ, whose spirit lives in Him, and God works inside and through their lives. So when God blessed them, it was a gift. His gifts and callings have no repentance. And the word blessed in the Greek language also means, what I said here was, to add to that which is already good and make it even better. Amen? The Beatles sang an old song years ago that says, "Take a sad song and make it better." God says it can take a good song and make it better. Amen? We see that in the Bible now as well. Let's read on here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 21. Let's go back a few verses. And it says this about creation. "So God created great sea creatures like whales and so forth, every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind." And notice this, God saw that it was good. So you see, He made them all, filled the oceans, filled the lakes, filled the rivers up, filled the land up, and said, "It is good." Verse 25, "And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, everything that creeps like snakes and lizards and worms on the earth according to its kind. And God saw what? That it was good." Okay? So in verse 28 again, God blessed man, and God tells man what? He says, I've made all of creation, and I say it's good, but through you, I'm going to make it better. I'm going to bless you to bless them. Okay? He said, fill the earth, subdue the earth, have dominion over the earth, and fill this world up with order and dominion and life and harmony by my power, by my blessing, by my spirit. You see that? So God made your child, it is good, but you can make it better. Amen? God gave you a job, that's good, but you can make it better. God made you, and that is good, but you can be better in Jesus' name. And these things all happen for us as God's kingdom works in us according to his good pleasure for us by his spirit. The Garden of Eden was good, but God told the man and woman there, till this thing, trim this thing, work this thing, you can make it better even than it is today. Point number two is this. Just as God spoke the blessings, so also must we. Just as God spoke the blessings, so also we are made in God's image, must be speaking blessings as well. If you look at the 12 spies, you all know, 10 of them gave what was called a bad report. Two of them, named Joshua and Caleb, the Bible said, had a different spirit. They had the kingdom of God working in them somehow, some way in the Old Testament. And it says here that Caleb in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, notice what it says about Caleb. It says, Caleb quieted the people. First thing to receive God's blessings for your life, to walk and flow in that continuously is, you need to quiet down all the naysayers in your mind, in your heart that's coming to you. Amen? Quit calling yourself stupid. Quit calling yourself ugly. Quit calling yourself defeated. Quit calling yourself a loser. Quit calling yourself the tail and not the head. Call yourself what God calls you in Jesus' name. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. He didn't see the giants. He saw God behind the giants. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. David did not see Goliath. David saw God behind Goliath. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, and they shall be sons of God. Amen. As we face the elections in America this year, next year, the debates and so forth, I want to say as a side note right here, if I could do this as a pastor, please watch your words these next few months. Don't curse any man or any woman who may become our president in a year down the road. I'm not going to say that if so-and-so wins the election, America's going down the tubes. The power of life and death is in my tongue. No man, no woman can make this nation go down the tubes. Amen? I don't care who they are as far as their office goes. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and the hearts of the kings are in the hands of the Lord. He directs it like a water course the way he chooses. So yes, we do pray. We pray for the right elected officials. We pray for the right president, the right governors, the right congressmen. We pray for all those things. But let's not be speaking curses over America before the election even happens. Amen? Because God took even Daniel with a pagan demonic king and somehow worked some redemptive things out in Babylon, right in the middle of pagan worship all around him. And America's not quite there yet. Amen? So I'm saying, let's start using our mouth to speak blessings on the election, on this nation, in Jesus' name, and say what God says about this country that God wants to do. Amen? This is kind of a side note, if it makes sense to you there. This is all free. Okay. Our mouth releases blessings or cursings, life or death. Use it for blessings and life is what God says. Number three, we can also reclaim the blessings. We can reclaim blessings. There may be those today that don't feel blessed. You're going through, again, a downturn in your finances, your marriage, your feelings. You lost your boyfriend, lost your girlfriend, lost your ring. Your car got hit by another car, no insurance. Whatever you might lose in life, you can reclaim your blessings. Amen? Because all things around us are all temporal, but the kingdom of God in you is permanent and is eternal. And God can help you reclaim your blessings. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 gives keys on this. It says, Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing even bigger than Taylor Swift. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, there are manifestations of blessings being withheld from us sometimes because we're not discerning the influences of these three things that God told Abram to get out of. He said, Abram, beware of your culture. Get out of your country. Your culture has permissive, fleshly, sinful things. You cannot embrace and be blessed in my kingdom. Okay? So I don't care what America or what Spain or what Italy legalizes. What does God's word legalize? What does God's kingdom say? What is the truth of the word speaking to you and I? Amen? No matter what a culture says, it's what does the kingdom of God's culture say is what matters. Amen? And so he says, Abram, make sure you get out of your country, the evil things that are in that perhaps. Get out of, also it says, your family. Some people's families are just full of pessimism. They're full of sometimes bad language. They're full of habits. They're full of iniquities. And God says, don't let your family's negative traits be carried into your life in the kingdom of Almighty God. Then he goes on and finally says one more smaller thing. Also get out of your father's house. How many folks know that father's iniquities are passed on to third and fourth generations? Your dad might have been an alcoholic. He might have been abusive. He might have been a violent-tempered person. He might have been a drug addict. He might have been a gambler. Whatever your dad might have been, he says, come out of the iniquities of your father's house that you might have sustained blessings take place in your life. Amen? You see, Satan knows your history. Satan knows your ancestors. He will push your buttons every time he can to put you in the right place at the right time to receive temptations from your household and your father's sins to drag you back into his kingdom if he can do that, okay? So I'm saying resist that, know about that, get out of that, and get into the kingdom of Almighty God. You're in it right now, now live like it. Speak like it, think like it, and act like it in Jesus' name. Last of all, number four. Also, read your bulletin sometime about the illustration of the dryer sheets. That's also kind of the same type thing there, how we can see things clogged up in our lives by residue, okay? Number four is last thing is this. We can sustain also the blessing. We can sustain the blessing. How do we do that? Genesis chapter 12, verses 7 through 8. It's a bitter pill right here, but if we do this, we will sustain the blessing God has ordained for us, okay? It says this, the Lord God appeared to Abram and said to him, to your descendants, we're called the children of Abraham, we are called that, I will give this land, that means your inheritance, your promised land. And there he built an altar to the Lord. That's the key, who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountains west or east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent there with Bethel on his west and Ai on the east. Notice what it says next. And there he built an altar to the Lord and he called upon the name of the Lord. What this says is there is never going to be a substitute in your Christian life from prayer and building an altar for God. If you neglect the Bible, neglect prayer, neglect coming together like this in a place of worship together, a corporate gathering like a local church like this. If you neglect these things, the altar becomes dusty, becomes broken down, and becomes more and more vague in your life. For sustained blessings, not because of works or religious bondage, but because we realize our spirit man needs food, our soul needs food, and our body also needs food, spiritual food, not just physical food. Amen? And so God is saying to have sustained blessings, don't neglect the assembling of ourselves together, the praise and worship, the reading God's Bible, the Word, prayer before God, spending time with God. He built an altar to the Lord. and he called upon the name of the Lord, and he had sustained blessings. I'm going to have James come back to the platform now. If you do that, please, I want to close in prayer. I gave this message here today for the adults and youth alike. And I'm going to take it, but one thing I felt the Holy Spirit convict me to do this morning, or urge me to do this morning, is I want us all to stand to our feet, please, to make it more easy. And those youth that are here, those that are between the age of 12 and 19 years old, if you would mind coming to the front here, just quickly come to the front. If you're between 12 and 19 years of age, just stand side by side. I believe that God wants us to take and speak blessings this morning upon our youth, and ask the Holy Spirit to take and have his way in their lives. Could you guys step forward about two more steps? Step forward two steps. I'm going to walk behind you. I'm going to get the parents of these youth to also come to the front. The parents, if you wouldn't mind, stand in front of them. Or actually, stand behind them, the parents. Stand behind them, all the parents. I'm going to get Jack's help as well. Some prayer partners that are here, perhaps, who can come to the front and get your help as well. I'm just going to briefly lay hands upon these people and pray for them with Cheryl's help also today. And ask the Holy Spirit to take and just with the congregation's help, let's pronounce blessings on our youth. These guys, you know, are facing battles almost as big as we saw this young man in India facing today. Because at their schools they go to every day, there's cursing, there's swearing, there's selfishness, there's backbiting, there's dog-eat-dog, there's tear folks down, there's fine faults. Find what's wrong and point it out and broadcast it to all the folks around you. They're facing tremendous pressures at school and in this culture. It's only getting bigger, not less. They need God's help and God's grace in their lives to work and move the way he wants to. If we have Nate and Sarah help us out as well here, perhaps, with the youth. Let's go ahead and just take it, let's touch these folks, pray for these folks. You folks that are out there, let's reach our hands, our faith out right now towards these people. And just speak blessings on them right now. They will be blessed.